chapter 13. We're going to finish out John chapter 13, that little segment that I said we would do this week. And then Friday, we're going to begin John chapter 14. I'll be here for chapel on Friday. We're in John chapter 13, verse 31. I'll hand these out and pass them around. If you need one, take one. All right. John chapter 13, verse number 31. Just real quick before I read it, you know the background, what's going on here. They're having their Last Supper, and they're in the upper room there with Jesus. And last week we talked about betrayal, talked about the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter. And so this week we're going to talk about kind of the opposite. Talk about love and loyalty. And so in the midst of him discussing these things, he also says, now it says, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, just like he said to them, he says to them, just like he said to the Jews, he's now saying to his children or his disciples, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Actually, we're going to, that's our section there, verses 36 through 38 we talked about last week with the denial and the betrayal. So he says here to love one another, and this is our difference we're going to look at. Instead of the betrayal, as we know that the mind of Christ here is on, obviously, hey, you know, Judas is on his way out to betray him to the chief priest to tell him where he is. Now this discourse, this discussion, and this event this evening that is being talked about here is going to go on for a while before he gets to the garden. But he's teaching his disciples here, and he wants to tell them, look, I want to give you a new commandment. And of course, we know, as John said in 1 John, that it's not actually a new commandment. It is a fresh commandment, so to speak, but it's the same commandment that they had from the beginning, and that is that they would love one another. And he says, as I have loved you. And we think about, how is it that Christ loved the disciples? How is it that Christ has loved us? Well, we know that Christ has loved us because he laid down his life for us. As we could look at various cross references and so forth, we're not going to do that because we only have a short amount of time. Jesus said, you know, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. And we know that Christ considered the disciples there his friends. He says, I call you my friends. But we also know that before we're saved, we're enemies of God. In Romans chapter 5, it says, in fact, I'll just turn there real quick. He says, for when we were, in verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, put that on silent. Verse number 6 again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the righteous and perfect and holy. No, he died for the ungodly. It says, you know, as he said, I lay down my life, you know, no greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Well, here it says he died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he showed his love, he commended, proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, before we were his friends, before we were holy in his sight, before we had done anything deserving of sacrifice or love, he showed his love to us and laid down his life for us. Laid down his life for us when we didn't deserve it. This is the perfect picture of love here. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The love that he shows, he says, as I have loved you, so love one another. The same love that he has shown, and this is a sacrificial, self-denying love. It is a love that looks out for the best interest of others. You see, he didn't say, oh, I love the world and so therefore I'm going to just forgive them all. No, he had to fulfill what we owed him. What we could not pay, he had to pay. And so it took sacrifice on his part to give his own Son. And then the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had to give his own life to pay for our sins. So that as he has laid down his life, we're to do likewise. First of all, though, we must consider, and I know many of you have heard, most of you probably have heard this over and over and over again, right? We must first enter into the love of God by faith. We must first allow his love to be effectual for our lives. And that is, Christ didn't die in vain. He didn't die just so that we would know, oh, he's a good God. He died for us. No, he died so that he might pay for our sins. He died so that he might deliver us from our sin. Deliver us from the power of our sin. Deliver us from the penalty of our sin. And then eventually deliver us from the presence of sin. And today, if you've not trusted Christ, if you've not recognized that he's the only way of deliverance concerning sin, only way of deliverance concerning God as well. Because you see, concerning our relationship with God, if we're yet in our sins, then we need deliverance from the wrath of God. Not just from our sin, but from the wrath of God, which is poured out upon all of the ungodly. In that last day, when the judgment comes, we're going to stand before God and have to answer for our sin. And if we've not received deliverance from our sin through salvation in Christ, then we will have to be, then we're not going to be delivered from the wrath of God, which is to come. If we're not delivered from the wrath of God, you see, God's wrath has to be poured out. It has to be satisfied for the payment of our sin. You see, in Romans chapter 6, when it says the wages of sin is death, that is the wrath of God being poured out because of sin. And so it's either we die for all eternity in hell, or Christ, when he had the wrath of God poured out upon him on the cross, accepting our punishment for us, if we trust in his work there, if we accept what he's done instead of trying to do it on our own. Because you see, the only way we're going to pay for our own sin is in hell for all eternity. And then an eternity of eternities, which seems to be unfathomable, could not pay for one of our sins. But he, in his perfection, in his holiness, was able to pay for the sins of the whole world. And in love, he did so that we could receive life instead of death forever. He took death so that we could receive life. So I know you guys hear the gospel often, and I want to make sure that each time that I go through a passage, we remember that each passage in the Bible can point toward the gospel. It does. It points toward the gospel. But each passage in the Bible points toward Christ for salvation and for sanctification. To see if you've trusted Christ, if you're born again today, then the next thing here is that you obey this commandment. What is it he said? Love one another as I have loved you. Now there aren't a bunch of crosses out here on the alleyway here waiting for each of you to be nailed to and to die for one another. Praise the Lord for that. What's that? Don't give me any ideas. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? There is a cross to bear. That cross to bear is to love one another. Now, we're not talking about being saved. We're talking about now that you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, this is the Christian life, really. Now, of course, we recognize, and I just preached Sunday, that we, in and of ourselves, in the flesh, we can't do this. We cannot love one another as Christ loved us. It's not possible. But in Christ, by the power of God, we can. And we're commanded to do so. And with His strength, with His power, we can do so. How is it that we love one another? Well, we could go through the Scripture over and over, all of these places where we prefer one another above, or prefer another above ourselves, where we look everyone to another's wealth and not our own, where we consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, where we consider the life of another. What is it, instead of our first thought being, what is it that I need? Our thought is, what is it that he needs? What is it that he needs? See, you're not me, so I can think more about you. I can consider more about what your needs are. I can consider more. Now, first of all, not just physical needs, but spiritual needs. What is it that Daryl needs spiritually? How can I help him? And thereby display my love toward him. How can I show that I love you guys? It is to do what is to your best interest. Now, what is your best interest isn't necessarily what you think your best interest is. And that goes the same for me. Because I may feel like I need something does not mean that that is my best interest. Because something that I think I need may not be something that would be good for me to have. And so someone who's looking out for my best interest may come to me and say, brother, that concern, that thing that you want, is going to be bad for you. We talked about that swimming pool. It may not be to my best interest to have a swimming pool. Amen? that's the thing. Now, and I'm not knocking, you know, the attempt to show love. And that's what it was. It was a gift. Because someone thought, okay, this would be useful for them. This would be some way to display my love to them. And it was a child that asked for it, not understanding that it wasn't to their best interest necessarily. Although they may be able to enjoy it or enjoy certain things because of it, or enjoy it sometimes, along with the enjoyment that they seek, comes a lot of responsibility that they have to fulfill in order to have the enjoyment. And so the question is it to their best interest? Well, that's a question that we can answer another time. But it's just an example. Just an example. So you ask, what is it that I want today? Well, those that love you should consider before they try to fulfill that want, is it to your best interest? We talked about a fella about going to Lebanon. He may think, you know what? If I go up there, it's going to be the best thing for me. I've got an opportunity up there to do better or whatever. But those that love him, and they want to know what is to his best interest, may consider you go up there, and you're going to be faced with an opportunity to fall. An opportunity to choose wrong instead of right. And right now, you're not strong enough to handle that opportunity. And so because Morris and some of you guys love him, you warn him against it. Say, don't do that. It's not to your best interest. Now, someone else may say, you know what?
I think it's to your best, you know, or I think it's good. You want to better yourself? I'm going to give you the money to get up there. That person may think that they're displaying love by giving, by sacrificing of what they have to give to help them, but in all reality, they're not displaying love. You see, Paul even mentioned when the chapter on charity, when he said, though I, fill in the blank, he gave a bunch of different examples of, even though I do this and have not charity, I'm nothing. It profiteth me nothing. There's no use for it. One of those things was, if I sold everything I own and gave it to the poor and have not charity, it's no good. How could that be? I mean, isn't that charity? I mean, isn't that what we consider charity today, right? Giving to a need? That's what we consider charity. But that's not scriptural charity. It's only scriptural charity if it is catering to the best interests of that other person. Sometimes the best interest is not to fulfill the perceived need. Sometimes it is better for the person to have to fulfill the need themselves. You know, this mission, the way their program works is, what do they say? You don't work, you don't eat. Why? Don't they just want to take care of people? I mean, couldn't they just get their donations and go out to over to Tent City and give out food and take care of those people over there? But would that be loving? No, it wouldn't be. Because you're enabling them to live a lifestyle that's not helpful for them. Because a lifestyle that's dependent on other people and doesn't require anything of me hurts me. It doesn't help me. If everything's provided for me, and you see try not to get too political, but our government tries, they under the guise of helping, they hurt. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with assistance as it's needed, but the assistance program ought to be encouraging people to get off of the assistance. Because the point is, you have it when you need it, but you work out of it. Because otherwise, you're stuck in this position where you never get anywhere. Because you're depending on others to take care of you. Well, the point here is, as we have already said, you don't work, you don't eat. Well, rather, if we look at it another way, although that is the fact of it, but if we look at it from another perspective, you are producing value in return for value given to you. So instead of you just getting stuff that you need, you are producing a value for the ministry here, and in return for producing that value, you get what you're getting. So instead of having a handout, you're working for it. So it's a totally different kind of program. It's a totally different scenario. The guy down at Tent City, whatever, I went into the Horizon House with Oscar on Friday, and this lady stops me and she says, hey, could you get us some help over at, you know, over Tent City, we need food and stuff and this and that. And I said, I'll take it into consideration. And so I did. I thought about it. And I thought, what would be best for them? What would be best for them? What's the mentality over there? Is the mentality a mentality of, hey, we're helping people get back on their feet? No. It's a mentality of, give me. I need, so you owe me. You give it to me. That's the wrong mentality. That's the wrong concept. That's not going to help them. It's not going to help them. And just the same, you know, sometimes we get even people that may be quote unquote successful, or they have a job and they have, you know, whatever, and they just use their job to consume it upon their own lusts. And they're just like, oh, I need this, and I want this, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And they just keep, what ends up happening eventually?
They lose everything.
Because maybe they were enabled with a position. You know, I've known people that have had great wealth, that have had a lot of money, but it goes away. They lose it because they don't handle it properly.
Yes, sir.
You get up every day and you have your health. That's woken up.
Yeah, that is. Now, there's nothing wrong with aspiring to do better. That's a good thing. That's God put that in us. As long as it's not at the expense of actually doing better. You see, we can obtain many things and still have nothing if our focus is in the wrong place. A guy once said this. This truth about love throughout the Bible is pretty simple. A businessman once said, help enough people get what's best for them out of life, and you'll get what's best for you. Now, his thought process was, you get a bunch of other people rich, and you'll be rich too. Well, you have the right perspective if you do that, keeping in mind what's most important first. And so, in terms of loving one another, of course, what's most important is concerning the spiritual growth of another. And then along with spiritual growth will come wisdom for making the right decisions for your financial growth, for your health growth, for each area of your life. As you gain wisdom from God's Word, you know, there's so many neat things as you study through the Scriptures that you find wisdom in. That, oh, if I apply this principle over here, not forgetting to apply it here, if I apply it over here, then we'll be met with great success as well. What is it that God told Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want prosperity and success? The truth for prosperity and success is in this, in the Word of God. And the wisdom of how that happens is through loving others more than yourself. Showing that you're interested in their best interest more than your own. That works in the home. That works in the workplace, in the business world, in sales. It works in fitness. It works in all aspects of life. When you place yourself last of all, now of course there's people out there that'll just take, take, take. But if you're truly loving them, you don't let them harm themselves by getting what they don't need. You're looking out for their best interest, not just for what they say they want. So when true love is in operation, you don't get walked on. As people say, oh, you know, if you're just always looking out for everybody else, they're just going to walk on you. Not if you're giving them what's best for them, not just what they want. I don't think about those things. Hopefully that'll be useful for you guys this week. I know we went over a few minutes, so I'm going to let you guys get. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you so much for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open it up here today and, Lord, to look at this concept of love as you have loved us. Lord, you didn't love us just to give us everything we want, but rather you loved us so that we might have what's best. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, put this to practice in our lives. And, Father, we pray, Lord, that You just help these men today, keep them healthy, Lord. Bless them, care for them, keep them safe. Help them, Lord, to obtain the desires of their hearts, Lord, to the best interest of your will. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.